Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It is Thunder and Lightning live here, live from Pearl River Resort, out here at the Mississippi Farm Bureau, Mississippi Food Network, Feeding Mississippi Festival. And what an incredible day it has been. First off, the people out here, the hospitality has been top-notch, S-tier, as the kids would say. And you guys all know you've been on this weight loss journey with me for these past 2.5 years as I've been trying to shed some pounds. I can say without question, I have eaten more today than I have eaten since I started. I have been putting it away today. I have been a judge at a rib-eating competition. Or not a rib eating, a rib competition. I eat ribs and judge them. I have been invited to be a judge at a wing eating competition soon enough, so I'm going to be a part of that. I've made a lot of new friends. I've eaten a lot of great food. But most importantly, we've been out here raising awareness for food insecurity here in the great state of Mississippi. If you want to help out, you just need to go by your county's local Farm Bureau office. You can make a donation of food. You can make a donation of money, whatever it is you want to do to help food insecurity here in the state of Mississippi. Kind of an interesting day in that, you know, to have a show out here at a live remote when we have a massive Mississippi State story to talk about, and we'll just dive right into it. You already know by now Mississippi State moving on from Chris Lemonis as their head baseball coach, a decision that was not made lightly by Zach Selman, but a man who, you know, if you go back to the two decisions he's made to get rid of coaches here at State, has not been afraid to pull the trigger mid-season either one. And did so in situations where it felt like the team maybe could benefit some slight bit from that change. If you go back to football, when the dismissal of Zach Arnett, only a couple games left in the season, but I thought State played better football against USM and Ole Miss in those two games than they had in the weeks prior. And then last night, you know, I think as I told Borky on Sports Talk Mississippi, I think sometimes the eye kind of just sees what it wants to see, and State goes out and just pummels a bad Memphis team, and people want to say, well, you know, obviously, you know, it's just it's Memphis, and, you know. But I thought they did play with a different approach in some ways last night, and Coach Parker addressed that after the game. He talked about that the team played with a breath of fresh air. And there can't be any doubt in your mind that – Mississippi State have been playing under pressure these past few weeks. That, you know, coaches like to talk about we block out all the outside noise. We don't hear all that. But we know that that's not true. Those guys know they've been losing games. They know that Coach Lemonis' job had been in danger. And they knew that eventually it was probably going to come to the point where they were going to make a move. And now with that done, you can just concentrate on playing baseball. And concentrate on maybe finding enough wins along the way to get back into the postseason. With Justin Parker at the helm, you know, I don't think there's any question that he's not going to be the head coach at Mississippi State when this is over with. But this is a great audition for him. And he talked about that last night. He said, you know, it's a destination job. And, you know, I'm honored to have the position that I have. And I think if Justin Parker was offered this job, he would absolutely take it. But I don't think that's the route that Zach Selman's going to go. I expect a real national search. I expect him to interview some big names. One of the things that's been brought up on message boards and on social media a lot over the past few weeks has been that, you know, does Zach Selman really value baseball? I don't think there's any question that he understands the importance of baseball at a place like Mississippi State. And that's why he's going to go out and do everything he can to bring an elite-level coach. You know, some of the names you're hearing, some of them are, you know, really good head coaches. Some of them are the top assistants in the game right now. The name that stands out to me, if of the realistic candidates, of the guys that Mississippi State I feel could actually bring in, is Brian O'Connor, the head coach at Virginia. Multiple College World Series. He has won a national championship. He has been a fixture in the postseason at a school like Virginia, which by and large does not provide the most support for college baseball, which does not provide the most support from an NIL perspective for college baseball, not in a way that Mississippi State would be willing to provide that level of support. If you can bring Brian O'Connor to Mississippi State to make the obvious cliched reference, that would be a grand slam for the Bulldogs to bring a coach of that caliber in. You know, the next layer down is your guys like Chris Pollard at Duke. Maybe not the sexiest name in the world, but that is a guy who's taken – Duke was also ran in the world of college baseball. No one cared about Duke. Could he come in and do the same thing for Mississippi State and take a program that is not an also-ran, that has all the advantages that Mississippi State has? You know, here's a guy who's done more with less. What could he do with more? Could he do more with more? I don't know the answer. I think Pollard would be a really, really good hire. You've heard some names of the former MSU assistants out there, specifically Nick Mangione and Butch Thompson. I'll be honest with you, I don't think either one of those guys will be in Starkville. If I had to pick one to be more likely than the other, it would be Thompson. I think he just had a little bit more success. And I do think, you know, in Nick Mangione's case, there's a massive, massive buyout here in play. We're talking millions of dollars. And this isn't, you know, I like Mangione. I think he's a really good coach. And I think he'd be really successful if he came to Starkville. But this isn't like you're getting Nick Saban or something like that. You don't want to go pay a $6, $7 million buyout for a coach that isn't the surest thing you can possibly imagine, especially when we're talking about college baseball. You know, State would probably be loath to pay an $8 million buyout in football for most coaches. I can't imagine doing it in baseball. So there's no point in that. I would not consider Mangione to be a truly serious candidate for the job at this particular point in time. I think that there are a couple of assistants worth mentioning. Josh Elander at Tennessee is going to get a lot of looks because he's the next guy, right? He's the guy who's been working under Vitello, and everybody says he's the one of the big reasons for their success. So he's going to have some people looking at him. Will Coggin is an incredibly interesting guy. And I'm usually, you know, if you've listened to this show and you've listened to the podcast in the past, you guys know I've never been real big on the, you know, bring a guy home kind of thing. You remember when Selman was hired, one of the things I stressed over and over and over again was, hey, don't go get a former Mississippi State guy. Bring somebody in with new ideas. Coggin being a former Bulldog, you know, it's not a negative. I'm just saying it's not the big positive a lot of people would make him out to be. But this is a guy who went to Kentucky with Mangione and got that program going in the right direction. Now he's at Georgia. That program is really taken off, and his batters have been a big part of that. You know, he works for Wes Johnson, who's, you know, known pitching guru, but Georgia has been an outstanding hitting team with Will Coggin running that show for them. And a guy who I believe would be the relentless recruiter that State needs. And above all else in this hire, recruiting is what drives you. You've got to get an elite recruiter to Mississippi State, all right? And I think that's something that Cohen kind of thought he was getting with Lamonis, and it just didn't work out as quite the same way he wanted it to. But when you think about college baseball, for the most part, you know, there's not a ton of decisions to make. You know, for the most part, you know, you may decide, hey, we want to lay down a bunt here or there, but by and large, you're just filling out the lineup card with hopefully the most talented nine guys you have, and you just go from there. You know, most of your decisions are being made by your pitching coach. And so if you've got a good pitching coach, you can take care of the rest. So I need somebody who's going to come into Mississippi State and 1 through 9 put together a team and a group that I know is going to be elite, where you're not going to have a hole in the lineup, where you're not going to have, you know, too many guys, you know, clumped up hitting 250 or below. I want an animal out there. I want a guy out there who's going to hit the transfer portal and quite frankly isn't going to make excuses because he's going to have the NIL funds to work with. He's going to have money to work with. So you got to go out and get players. You can't let players get out from underneath you. State is going to be a school that year in, year out can be contending for the top players in college baseball. They can go out and get elite talent every single year. There's no excuse for them not to do it. So, you know, if I were on a search committee with Zach Selman, and I certainly won't be, but if I was, That would be my main concern is what kind of recruiter are we bringing in? You know, X's and O's are not nearly as important in the game of baseball to me as Jimmy's and Joe's. You've got to have great players, and if State can go out and get a great recruiter, you know, they can be back in the postseason next year, and they can be back hosting regionals very quickly. And that's what Mississippi State baseball is going to be about. I've said it a few times this week, you know, what Mississippi State was able to do from 2016 to 2021. You know, take the COVID year out, and you're talking about five super regionals, three College World Series appearances, and an SEC championship. That is what Mississippi State baseball is capable of. They can do that on a year-in, year-out basis. Maybe, you know, maybe they have 1 year where, you know, they got to go on the road. And that's what they had, 2017. They did go on the road. They had to win a road regional to go to a super regional. But they did it. That's what that program is capable of within the right hands. Zach Selman has that job in front of him to find the right guy for this program. And if he can do that, I think Mississippi State can show you what it's capable of when it comes to baseball. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more baseball when we come back. Talk a little bit about last night's game and what's coming up this weekend. It's Super Bulldog weekend. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here at Pearl River Resort at the Farm Bureau Mississippi Food Network Food Insecurity, our food festival.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning, live Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. I'm here at the Pearl River Resort Studios. Technically, really, I'm here at Pearl River Resort. So, enjoying myself. This has been a great day here at the Mississippi Farm Bureau Feeding the Hungry fundraiser. By the way, I didn't say Rhino is down there in Studio X. He is, once again, taking care of business for us here on Thunder and Lightning. So that's the long term. What we just talked about, that's the long term for Mississippi State. That's, you know, you get a new coach, and what does he bring in, and what does the future look like? What about the short term for State? 10 games left in the regular season. This is Super Bulldog weekend coming up, and, you know, you've got a series with Kentucky this weekend. Next weekend, the Ole Miss Rebels come to Starkville, and then you wrap up against a Missouri Tiger team that, you know, may very well be winless in the SEC at the point you get to them, and maybe looking to finish out the season in that manner. You do have one more non-conference game against North Alabama. That's the Tuesday before the Missouri series starts. That's on May 13th. And, of course, as always, the final series of the year is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. Everybody gets that extra day of rest to get ready for the SEC tournament. Also, a note of the SEC tournament, don't know if you know this or not. We've talked about it, I think. But everybody's invited this year. All 16 teams will be there. The way they've got it set up is, you know, to get single elimination, they'll get everybody through there. But, you know, regardless of where State finishes in the conference, I think they're two games ahead of South Carolina for 14th right now. So they're under the old system where two teams wouldn't make it, State would still go this year. But even if they were to drop down, they would. Everybody's going to go. Missouri at 0-30 will get to go to the SEC tournament. One of the things that I talked about was, you know, I think that the reason they made the decision now in Lamonas was if this team were to get hot, and I know it's one of those things. I am a full agreement with what Coach Bill Parcells says, that you are what your record says you are, 100%. But I've watched Mississippi State play all year, and I know that this team is more talented than what its record ultimately says that it is. And so that team is capable of, in these final 10 games, finding its way forward and going on a little bit of a run. They're capable of winning the series this weekend. They're capable of beating Ole Miss. They're capable of winning the series with Missouri and having enough wins to go to the to make themselves an at-large team in the NCAA tournament. And Selman basically wanted to avoid the murkiness of that. Of, okay, so they made the postseason and they got hot at the end. Do we want to keep them? Maybe now you can go ahead and make that clean break. State beat Memphis last night 18-5. They played Memphis a few weeks ago in Memphis, and that final score of that game was not 18-5. We want to just put it that way. The final score of that game, I believe, let me double check, was 5-3. Where is that game? Yeah, 5-3. And that was a game where State struggled to get out of the blocks early. And, you know, had a couple of had a big inning late to put the game away. But they struggled in that game. No struggle on Tuesday night. They scored three in the first, one in the second, three in the third, and then 10 in the fourth. And that they scored 10 runs in that inning before the first out. It was quite something to see. And as I said earlier, sometimes, you know, you're watching something, you know, after a coach loses his job, you're thinking, well, obviously they're playing better because the coach is gone. And it's just one of those things, your eyes want to see that. But I will say this, you look at Hunter Hines, and that's a guy who's, you know, he's had some struggles as of late. And throughout his career at Mississippi State has been a guy who, you know, necessarily hasn't always been a guy who could go the other way with a pitch. But that's what he did. He had two hits last night going the other way, and he also had three walks. That is not a very typical Hunter Hines line for a game. I felt like State was patient at the plate last night. They hit the ball well. You know, Gary Fry had a hit. Sawyer Reeves had two. Ace Reeves had two. Noah Sullivan had two, and he walked three times. Hines had two hits and three walks. Bryce Chance was 2-for-2 with a walk. Reed Stallman was 2-for-4 with a 2-for-4 with five RBI. Ross Highfield, who's, you know, he's had some struggles this year. I thought he played really, really well last night. He was 2-for-3, had a laser three-run home run in this game, and he also drew a walk. So State, just top to bottom in the lineup last night, State was just good. And after the game, we had the chance to talk to Justin Parker. And I'm going to play that press conference for you on the Thunder and Lightning podcast tomorrow. So check that out. We have the audio from Coach Parker's first ever press conference as the interim head coach. And Parker, if you haven't had a chance to talk to him, and we've had that opportunity a couple times on Thunder and Lightning, we've had him on. He's a different kind of coach than Lamonis is. I feel like he is a guy who is maybe going to be a little bit more hands-on. I've always felt like Lamonis let his team lead itself in some ways. And that works great when you have guys like Jake Mangum and Tanner Allen and Rowdy Jordan who are going to drag the boat forward. But when you don't have those guys, you know, you got to get in there and lead. I feel like Parker is just a touch more hands-on. Now, maybe part of that is because being a pitching coach, he has to be in there day-to-day with those pitchers, telling them what he's expecting. And, you know, he talked about that last night. He said, you know, today, Tuesday, I wasn't as hands-on because it was Pico Khan's bullpen day, and I needed to be in there with Pico to work with him. But, you know, this week I'm going to get my hands around it a little bit more and have a little bit better feel for what I'm doing there in the dugout. But his demeanor last night was very, I don't know if comforting is the right word, because at this point in the season, I don't, you know, whatever happens, happens. Just take it or leave it. But I thought that he just had a really good attitude about himself last night talking to him. So, like I said, you'll get to check that interview out tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. I will have that on there. Go to the Steve Spire text line, 601-879-4395. Hey, Dad, do you think Ace Reese is retainable? And if so, how much would it cost? I don't know what it'll cost. It'll cost a good bit. You can be guaranteed. If anything I would be willing to bet on is that there are already teams in Ace Reese's message board or messages asking him up. Texas A&M are probably already doing that. Is he retainable? Absolutely, though. Mississippi State, they already got him here once. He's already here. You just got to make the right deal. I don't have a whole lot of worry about that. Dwayne and Brandon, do you think anyone on the existing coaching staff could take over, not another Arnett coaching fiasco? So, as I mentioned just a minute ago, you know, with Parker last night was asked about that. He was asked, you know, would you take this job if offered? And he made it very clear that he would. My question is, would that happen? And I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Justin Parker will be the next head coach of Mississippi State. And if anything else, this is kind of a job interview for him in two ways. One, does the next head coach want to keep him on staff? And I'll be honest, if I'm the next head coach, I'm certainly considering that. I think it needs to happen. But also, does another school want to bring him in as a head coach? This is a great opportunity for him to show that he can work the big job. So I don't think it'll be at Mississippi State as a head coach next year. But down the road, for sure, Justin Parker could be a head coach. From the 601, who is your favorite cousin? Man, that's a tough one. That's a very tough one. I got a lot of great cousins. I know who my least favorite cousin is. That's a much easier question. I'm probably going to go with the great Stephen Agustinelli. He's my favorite cousin. Runs the six-pack speak message board. You know, also is a Mississippi Farm Bureau employee. So I don't know if that's a good idea, because I think he spends all of his time on the message board and doesn't actually do any work. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, what, you didn't want me to say that? My bad. He's standing right over there. He's having a good time, as is everybody else here. What a fantastic day it's been here at Pearl River Resort. So, for the short term, what I guess I'm saying is there a path for Mississippi State to go? They really would need to maybe go 8-2. If they went 8-2, because they got to win the North Alabama game, and quite honestly, you have to sweep Missouri. A Missouri loss is a bad loss, and you know, if we're talking about that, I think they need 14 wins. I don't think 13 is going to be enough for them, so they have to win 7 more conference games. So that would be 7-2, and you beat North Alabama. Is this Mississippi State team capable of doing that? I would say yes. I would not bet on it. I would not say that they will do it, but could they do it? They could. They could. Kentucky has been an up-and-down team this year. They have some good wins. They have some bad losses. Ole Miss, I mean, it's Mississippi State versus Ole Miss, right? I hate to be a cliche guy and throw out the record books, but I'm going to throw them out. You know, State has had a lot of success against Ole Miss over the last, you know, few decades. So there's no reason to think that State couldn't beat them. But that being said, this is a really good Ole Miss baseball team, and they're going to come to Starkville looking to, you know, lock up a hosting spot. So that's something to consider. You have to sweep Missouri. None of those Missouri wins are even good wins on your resume. They don't really do anything for your postseason hopes other than give you SEC wins, of which you need 13 or 14. But those aren't resume win building wins. And we've talked about it a lot. State doesn't have a great resume right now. Beating Kentucky and beating Ole Miss, if they were to win 4 games against them, would nearly double their quad one, quad two totals for the season. I mean, they just don't have the good wins. They don't have any bad losses. They fixed that problem from a season ago, but then they found a new problem. They don't have any good wins. So we'll see how that goes for them. All right, when we come back, let's go to football. Let's talk some spring football. Our guy, Phil Loadholt, has been working the portal. Phil Loadholt would have enjoyed being here today. You want to know why? Because he's a big man. He likes to eat. He's welcome at the cookout anytime he wants. We'll talk about who he's bringing to the cookout, who he's bringing to Starkville. He has been working the portal hard these past few weeks. We'll talk about Phil Loadholt when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Eight. Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
I wish I had some corn today. I wish I had some vegetables. I need some green vegetables after all I've eaten out here today. Goodness gracious, I have put it away. I may count my calories live on the air tonight. I may give you an idea of what I'm at now. I had some to play with. I walked 3.5 miles this morning. I didn't have that much for lunch, which I'm regretting eating lunch, by the way. I should not have eaten lunch. If I had known what was going to be going on when I got out here, I would not have. But it is what it is. Thunder and Lightning. Super Talk Mississippi, we are live here at the Feeding the Hungry fundraiser. It's not a festival, it's a fundraiser here at the Pearl River Resort, brought to you by our friends at Mississippi Farm Bureau and the Mississippi Food Network. Again, if you want to help food insecurity here in our great state, go to your local Farm Bureau county office, talk to them. They'll take donations for money. They'll take donations in food. Whatever you want to do, you can help fight food insecurity here in our great state. Fighting offensive line insecurity is Phil Loadholt's job, and he's been doing a fantastic job of it. How do you do that? How do you fight that? Well, you do it with Cruton.
Cruton, 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 Cruton. Cruton, 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 Cruton.
And, of course, right now you can't sign high school kids, so you have to recruit through the portal.
Diddle-loo, 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 diddle-loo.
There you have it. Mississippi State has been digging into the transfer portal. This is basically what Phil Loadholt did. He got here to Mississippi State after the early signing period. Too late to really work the spring, the first window of the transfer portal. Looked around in his offensive line room and went, nah, that don't work. And has been doing a fantastic job these past couple of weeks of bringing in new talent. And I got to give him full credit for what he's been able to do here at Mississippi State, because, you know, there's only so many guys available in this transfer portal right now. And you don't have an opportunity to let those guys go through practice. You don't have an opportunity to let them, you know, work out of the practice field. You've got to evaluate them based off only what you've been able to see from them in the on their film. And so that's kind of what Phil Loadholt has been doing these past few weeks. And he has brought in some guys that he feels can work out for Mississippi State. And these are guys who have, some of these guys have played college football. So let's talk about them. Jaquan Bolden is a guy, a Mississippi kid who ended up going from JUCO to Purdue, redshirted last year due to injury. He was heavily recruited by State. It was a big surprise that he ended up going to Purdue, but now has ended up at Mississippi State. So that's one. One of the big ones is Blake Steen, because that's a kid who from Virginia has started and played a lot of power conference football for you over the last couple of seasons. Big kid, 6'5", 340, and that's going to be kind of a theme here. Mississippi State, Phil Loadholt wants guys that look like him. And if you haven't ever seen Phil Loadholt, that's a big gentleman. All right, played almost a decade in the NFL. Big guy. He stands out in a crowd, we'll put it that way. He wants guys like him. Jaquan Bolden is 6'7 and 350. Blake Steen is 6'5 and 340. Javen James from Maryland is listed at 255, but if you ask Maryland people, he's closer to 310, 6'4, 310. And then Brennan Smith from UTEP, center. State needed a starting center, especially after Carson Lee, who I think a lot of people thought might compete for that starting center job, hit the portal. Again, he's one of the guys that basically Loadholt was like, I don't think he can play at the SEC level, so he's got to move on. Brennan Smith comes in, 6'3", 285. And then he's not listed on the – oh, there he is. You know I love a good nickname, right? Zachariah Flapjack Owens. You want to talk about a fantastic nickname for an offensive lineman? Flapjack Owens? I mean – If I told you that we were going to go to the Omni in Atlanta and in the main event, the American Dream Dusty Rhodes was wrestling Flapjack Owens, would you bat an eyelash to that? No, you would not. It would absolutely happen. So 6'5 and a half, 385 pounds from Colorado. Colorado people said he was definitely going to be a starter for them this year. So in the matter of a couple of weeks, Loadholt has been able to get four new offensive linemen into his room to provide some depth and competition. If you listen to anything Jeff Lebby said this year, the first time we had a chance to talk to him at the start of spring practice, every other opportunity we had to talk with him, when he came on the podcast last week and talked with me, every time he talked about the offensive line. We've got to get better in that room. We've got to get more people in that room. And that's exactly what Phil Loadholt has gone out and done. Will these guys be All-Americans? Will they even be All-SEC? I have no idea, no way of telling you that. But if nothing else, Mississippi State got out and found some guys they feel can come in and provide competition and possibly be starters. And if nothing else, with Phil Loadholt, you're seeing you've got a coach here who is not going to settle. He's not going to just throw his hands up in the air and go, well, this is the hand I've been dealt. I guess we'll have to go forward with it. He is going to work and get guys into Mississippi State. So I'm very excited for him at Mississippi State. And talking to Lebby about him, if you go back a season ago, they wanted to bring Loadholt in as an analyst, offensive assistant, whatever you want to call it, and then Colorado offered him their offensive line coaching job. And so he couldn't turn that down, and Lebby just wasn't quite ready, I guess, at that moment. He wanted to see him do it. But it's no coincidence that as soon as Lebby called him and said, hey, are you ready to come to Mississippi State, he came. He and Lebby are tight. They've worked together at Ole Miss, they worked together at Oklahoma, and now they're going to work together at Mississippi State. So I feel good about the future of the offensive line with Phil Loadholt running the show there. And I'm very impressed with what he's been able to bring in this spring window. State's been able to bring in a couple of tight ends as well in this second window. And that's, again,
you know, we go back to the Mike Leach days when you didn't have tight ends. They just didn't have them. And then you switch offenses to an offense that needs tight ends. If you've watched Lebby when he coached at Ole Miss and at Oklahoma, you know, some two tight end sets are pretty central to what he wants to do. And you just didn't have those guys on campus. And so you needed some depth there. They bring in Sam West from Indiana and Max Reese from Eastern Michigan. Again, neither one of these guys, their numbers aren't going to jump off the page at you, but they provide some depth. They are, you know, if you want to go two tight end, you feel better about them, basically. What you're saying is you feel better about Sam West and Max Reese than you do about Cam Ball. That's basically what you're saying. Sadu Traore is tight end one. I would like to see him take a big jump this year. I feel like he's really talented, but he had an up-and-down year a season ago. I want to see what he can do in year two in this system with another year of coaching. I really like that. I really think that he's got a high ceiling. This offense this year, you know, I just don't know. I think that they have a lot of opportunities, but at the same time, you know, you're banking on some potential that's not production. There's definitely production in the running back room, but the wide receiver room, the tight end room, the offensive line room, a lot of potential. You know, I think State's going to be starting maybe two of their young guys, and Jimothy Lewis and Luke Work at the offensive line. Albert Reese will be the old man of the group, and I really like him. I think once they move him inside to a guard position, you're really going to see him thrive. I think he can be an NFL caliber guard. Lewis is a guy that people have raved about, but he's young. He's still got a lot of work to do. Going back to baseball here, my buddy Ed in Columbus, just me, Negative Nelly. Make a coach tell you no. That's on our AD. If you want the Texas coach, go get him. Make him tell you no, just like football. If Libby goes 0-8 in the SEC, 0-16, got to get rid of him. Make Saban tell you no. $45 million over 3 years guaranteed. Think big is where I'm going. Just don't settle for mediocrity. Make a Saban tell you no, but you make a top-notch coach priority, not a Virginia coach who's been at that school 25 years. Great show today. Ed, I agree with a lot of what you're saying there. I mean, if I'm Mississippi State, I'm definitely going to call Tony Vitello. I'll get him on the phone. I'll make an offer. I don't think he'll accept it, but I'll call him for sure. I wouldn't just not do that. But Brian O'Connor is a big-time coach. I know he's been at Virginia 25 years, but it's because he's been winning there and going to College World Series and excuse me, and has you know, been a top-tier program year in and year out. But Virginia has changed because of NIL, and they're not going to put the kind of support into that program. You know, that, you know, when it was just everybody was 11.7 and you didn't have to worry about things like that, Virginia could compete with anybody. But now Virginia is not going to have the resources that a Mississippi State would. But make no mistake, Ed, Brian O'Connor is a top-tier coach, an elite, outstanding coach. If Mississippi State were to get him, it would be a no-doubter home run hire and would be heralded as such across the world of college baseball. Libby going all Nick Nolte and blue chips. Well, you got to get players, man. Players win games. You know, you take the best tacticians in the world, but you give them terrible players, they are not going to win football games. They are not going to win basketball games. They're not going to win baseball games. You have to have top-tier players. And so if you can't get those guys, well, then just showing up isn't going to be enough. So, yeah, Libby is pushing all in a little bit. And as well he should, because he did go 2-10 last year. And if he goes 2-10 this year, there's going to be some hard questions to be asked to him in year two. Don't want that. So you want to be better. Well, the only way to do that is to get better players. All right, when we come back, we need to talk about the premier sporting event in the entire state of Mississippi. What is that, you ask? Well, just know that I'm going to be a part of it this weekend here in Starkville. That's right. When we come back, we're talking about the Starkville Derby. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning here at the Pearl River Resort. Back in just a minute.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
All right, one last go around here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I believe they are announcing the winners of the rib competition, of which I was a judge. Those photos should be available at our Facebook page for Super Talk Mississippi. We're here with Jamie Swafford. She is the Industry Affairs Coordinator for Farm Bureau here in Mississippi. That's a big title. What does it mean?
Well,
that's my favorite question. You got a long title. What is it? What do you actually do?
Actually, you have to add foundation coordinator on there as well. But I want to point out that I asked you before the break, what
is your title? You said foundation coordinator. I said everything back to you correctly, and you said just say industry affairs.
Because it's shorter, and I didn't think you'd ask me that question.
No, I'm going right to what you do.
So I help out the Farm Bureau Federation team and making sure that our industry partners are informed with what we're doing and keep those relationships healthy. Mm-hmm. And then we just stood up a foundation this year, mm-hmm. The Foundation for Agriculture, and we are going forward with that, making sure people know about ag education, about why agriculture is important to Mississippi, and also we have an initiative called Farmers Feeding the Hungry.
So this is a Mississippi State show, as you know.
Yes.
And I think if anybody knows how important agriculture is to the state of Mississippi, it would be Mississippi State people.
Does.
But we do have Ole Miss people listening. So why, in your opinion, I'm not asking why is agriculture important. That feels like a pretty obvious question. We like to eat.
Yeah.
But what about agriculture education do we need to know here in the state? Where are we lacking that this foundation can help with?
I think a lot of people in the industry I work in, so in the ag industry, don't realize how many people don't know where the food comes from and how it's produced and what it takes to produce that, what it takes for people to commit to a career that is 7 days a week, sometimes, 18-plus hours a day, and you're not guaranteed a paycheck.
Yeah.
Like, they really don't understand the importance and value of the food that we eat and the food security that we have in this country. People don't really realize how safe our food is compared to other places in the world.
I see that all the time, and I like to think I'm an adventurous eater, but I see some of these places and I'm just like, I just can't get behind that.
Yeah.
I like Indian food, but I like it in America, if that makes sense.
You like it prepared in a way that's safe.
That I know that it's safe.
Yeah, then it's, you're not going to spend days in the bathroom, or hours in the hospital.
It happens.
Yeah.
So you talk about food security we have in Mississippi. We also have food insecurity in Mississippi. And the numbers are kind of staggering. We're talking about almost 20% of our population here in this state has issues putting food on the table.
Yes, it's kind of scary because, I don't have that problem, and it's kind of hard for some of us to believe, and I like for people to understand that it's not a visual thing.
Right.
You may be sitting next to someone at school every day, or you may have someone at work that is dealing with food insecurity that you don't even know about. So, it's a real thing, and, it's an easy thing for those of us who are blessed to help with and help solve.
So we talked about it a little bit earlier, but you told us anybody who wants to help right now, they just need to go to their local Farm Bureau office.
Yes. Every county in this state has a county Farm Bureau office, and you can go in there and donate, whether it's food or your money, however you would like to donate. And, if you're just really wanting to donate your time, you can go down to the Mississippi Food Network, and they will put you to work.
Yeah.
They need help. Yeah.
25 million meals delivered last year.
Yeah.
So somebody made a good point on our text line. Because there's only 3 million people in Mississippi.
They've got to eat more than one.
I know. I get the math. So it's 9 million meals a day if you're eating three squares a day. But that's a staggering number to think that 25 million meals were created. But the bigger number to me is how many meals were missed.
If we're 5% above the national average in food insecurity, it's probably a scary number how many meals are missed. You would be surprised how many kids go home and don't eat until the Monday they go back to school.
That's really tough to think about.
And as the daughter of a public, school teacher for decades, my mom would absolutely tell you that's the truth.
Yeah. Growing up, my mom didn't have a whole lot of money, but we tried to make sure there were three square meals on the table every day. And I know what a struggle that is for a lot of our people. So we're glad to have people like you and Farm Bureau and the Mississippi Food Network helping us out.
Well, Mr. McCormick and Mr. Henry Hamill are really the key to this.
I'm a big Henry Hamill fan.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I am too. I like his style.
One of the good things about this job over the past few years is I was making friends with Henry Hamill. So I know he'll take. I didn't recognize him when I saw him though.
But he does baseball games so good.
Are you talking about Caleb?
No, I'm talking about Mr. Henry when he goes to the games.
Oh, yeah. The way he cooks up there.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree.
I said, I like his style.
I have eaten at his truck at the SEC tournament.
So yes.
It has been a lot of fun. So, one more time, every Farm Bureau office in the state, if you want to help out the Mississippi Food Network, you can do that just by going in.
Yes, and the foundation will make sure that money gets where it should go, every bit of it.
That's a great cause. The Octibahaw County Humane Society is a great cause as well.
Yes.
That's where the Starkville Derby is going to benefit. I will be on the commentary for the Starkville Derby, the Wiener Dog races. Don't miss it. They're going to have a live stream. I will tweet a link as soon as I have it, and you can listen to me, Bart Heisch, and our good friend Bo Bounds will join us, and we will commentate wiener dog races.
What time?
I believe the call to post is 8 a.m.
All right.
That's early.
Yes.
For me. Jamie, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Houston, Gary, Alex, Borky's halfway back to Jackson, Rhino in Studio X, everybody here at Farm Bureau, Chief Ben. We appreciate you. It's Thunder and Lightning Live. We'll see you again next week.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.